Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show, coming to you live from the greatest city on the planet, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 20th day of September 2016. Once again, a lot of things happening in the world of sports and in the world in general. And before we get started, just want to say one thing. For all of you people out there who jumped all over Kaepernick for this, for his little silent protest that he's doing about the national anthem, which is strictly his business, it's strictly his right. He can express it any way that he wants to. I think everybody seems to forget the 1960s and the early 1970s. I certainly didn't. I was in that time frame where everyone came together and protest was okay. But all of a sudden now we've gotten so sophisticated that protest is not exactly the thing we want to do. But anyway, Kaepernick and some other NFL players, and I know it's going to spread to the NBA and everything else, have the silent protest when the national anthem is played. They're not bothering anybody. They're not saying anything. They're just having their protest time. Well, and then people say, why in the world are they doing that? And all I'm going to say is this. Fast forward. Tulsa, Oklahoma. A man with his hands in the air is tased. And then as he's tased, his hand drops down because he's being tased. He grabs the doorway, the door, trying to stop himself, watch the tape, falls on the ground, and when he falls on the ground tased, he's shot because he's a threat. No gun in the vehicle, no gun on him, no weapon of any type, okay? A helicopter flying overhead. You know, the police helicopters, they have video of the whole thing, as well as the dash cams, okay? And what first thing the helicopter guy says, or the pilot is, man, that's a bad dude. He's a bad dude because he's a six-foot-something black guy who's got his hands in the air, who's got a vehicle that's stuck in the middle of the road, who was trying to get help for his vehicle that had broken down, so that makes him a bad dude. So add to the list of things we can't do is you can't raise your hands and you can't have a broke-down vehicle. That's another thing you can add to the list. But don't knock Kaepernick and any of these other guys until you've walked in our shoes and know what it's like every single day. But anyway, we're going to move on from that right now. Tonight we have a very special guest, Tonya Walker. She is the athletic director. Oh, yeah, by the way, Linda Van Smith is with us tonight. And we got Tonya Walker, the athletic director at Winston-Salem State University, the Rams. Good afternoon, Ms. Walker. Good evening, Ms. Walker. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is an absolute honor and pleasure. Well, good old Winston-Salem State University, that is where I started out my college career. I stayed there. I transferred over to North Carolina Central, but I still remember Brown Hall. Some very interesting stories about Brown Hall. But
Brown Hall is very different than it used to be.
Yeah, I tell you what, I hope so. I think that class of 1984, I think we changed the way things are done at Brown Hall. But anyway, go ahead.
It's a co-ed dorm now, and it has air conditioning, so that kind of gives you a visual. Yes.
It has air conditioning? Oh, I kind of miss opening those windows and hanging out.
Oh,
and Lord,
no longer.
I'm glad it's not. I'm glad it wasn't co-ed back then, but it seemed like it was. But, Ms. Walker, let's talk about your time there at Winston-Salem State University. We talked a little bit off air. You've been, you know, your 17th season there, 10 years working there. Talk about your road to where you are right now as athletic director.
Yes. So I came to Winston-Salem State University in 2000. So I have been with the athletics department. I am in my 17th season. Came as was recruited as a volleyball coach. Say that coaching is not my forte. I'm an administrator, and you know, I coached volleyball for 3 years. We were fortunate to have a new athletics director that came on board and realized where my passion lied and transitioned me out of coaching. And I worked for a period of time as the assistant athletics director and have always been designated as the senior woman administrator. I am now in my third year as the director of athletics. served two stints as interim director of athletics. And so I think I've pretty much run the full gambit fulfilling many of the positions in athletics, but have truly enjoyed my time amongst the Ramilly.
Now, working your way up, what would you say is the biggest challenge in being an athletic director? I know you have to take care of every program, not just worry about one, but everything that moves, you really got to worry about it. But talk about the transition. What is it about being athletic director that is you probably find the most difficult and then the most rewarding?
Yeah, so the most difficult and challenging for me, and it probably still remains difficult, I just have to keep it at the forefront, is I am no longer the executor, but I'm the visionaire or the visionary. And so for many years, I've been the person that was the legs behind the vision and to make it happen. And so oftentimes now I will even find myself getting into the weeds and being the executor, because that's such a comfortable place for me. That's where I was for so long. But I have to slowly push back and to get my staff to understand that I'm still here to serve. I'm still here to help, but just in a different way. And I've surrounded myself with a great team of individuals that can help me with fulfilling the vision. The most rewarding for me, you know, our tagline is graduating champions. For me, the biggest accomplishment for me is to make sure that I see my student athletes walk across that stage. That's my championship. That's my personal championship, to know that all of the support that we have put around them to make sure and to ensure that they are maturing and growing through their matriculation, not only athletically, but in socially, and all of that culminates with graduation, I couldn't be more proud.
You know, that's kind of one of my passions also. I've been shown, you know, I've been around teams, we won championships, you know, and just recently I was shown, like, you know, look, we won these two rings, and we've got these trophies, and we've got this. And to me, that was unimpressive. But then they showed me a picture of all the student athletes who graduated. I said, now that right there, those kids in those cap and gowns with those degrees, that is a sign of a successful program. You can win all the championships in the world, but if the kids are not given the opportunity to get those degrees, then you have a failed program. And besides, like they say, the NCAA says, like, what, 99% of the kids are going to go pro in something other than the sport that they are playing. So therefore, you have to make those leaders. You have to put the opportunities there in front of them, you know, in order for them to grow as athletes, grow as human beings, and grow into something that the school and their parents and they will be proud of. And that's what athletics brings to you. It's not a right; it's a privilege to wear WSSU across the chest. It's a privilege,
absolutely.
And that's what you. Yeah, and it's hard to get some freshmen to understand that the first time they hit campus, but after a few practices, I think it's drilled into their head. And let's talk about the academic side of it, because I know at Winston-Salem State, from experience and also from just watching from afar for the years, you do graduate a large number of your athletes. I mean, you really work hard with them. Talk about what programs you have in place there to help those athletes, you know, sometimes overcome the hurdles and get to where they need to go.
Yes. For about the last 5 years, the state of North Carolina mandated that all of our academic tutors, or all of our tutors that were specialized for athletes, was housed under the provost. And so our academic tutoring services and academic support services are housed under University College and Lifelong Learning, and under that program, which falls under the umbrella of the provost. And so we have designated tutors for sport. We have an academic oversight person that ensures that registration is a priority for student athletes, that they are pre-registering, that they are in the right classes, that our instructors are notified when we have to miss class. There is a study hall program within the Academic Success Center that we ensure is monitored by someone other than a coach. And so our goal is to attain a 3.0 GPA among all of our student athletes. And that, working along with that team, we are striving towards that direction. We work together to set policy with the academic counselors and the academic success center personnel, and then we enforce it. And so there's almost like a three strikes you're out type of policy that's put in place when a student athlete does not attend class, when he or she is not in study hall, cushions that we implement in athletics. And so that relationship has been very strong. This last semester or this last year, we graduated 55 of our student athletes. We always boast of the number of student athletes that are on the dean's list in each semester, and we celebrate that type of excellence in the same manner that we celebrate championships on the playing field.
Yeah, and I think that is that is absolutely great. I mean, because I just love to see – I love to see all the kids walk across stage, but it gives you that little extra puff of the chest when you see those student-athletes, because I don't think people really understand the time demand on an athlete. I mean, I see it on the Division I level, and, you know, and I, and Division II is not any different. And I tell you, having to work, do your schoolwork in between practices and treatment and team meetings and all that stuff, you really have to be organized, and I think that's the key. Linda, you have any questions?
I do. Good evening, and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show. Ms. Walker, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Hope you are.
I sure am, and I do want to piggyback on what Mike was talking about with the academics. And I see that, you know, you do have certified teachers, correct, that are teaching the athletes. Is that what you were saying?
We have academic counselors, academic success counselors, yes.
Okay, that are teaching them in each subject, is that right? Is that correct?
No, so they oversee their schedules to make sure that they are the liaisons between their professors. If there are issues with class attendance, with test taking, if our student athletes are on the road when a test is to be issued, then that academic success counselor can stand in and proctor that test for them. So they are the liaison between the athlete and their professor.
That's fantastic. And, Mike, I'm not sure whether do we have something like that at Central, something to that degree? I know we do have tutors that come in, I believe.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's a
they
key
do
piece.
Have. Yeah, they do have. When you're on the road, you have to, you know, you don't get to miss a test. You don't get to miss stuff like that. So a lot of it's done through the Internet, and then you also have people that proxy the test and make sure that everything
right.
is, you know, up and up. But, you know, yeah, you know, a lot of people don't understand this. You don't get to miss it. It's not like it's funsy. And, wow, I'm going to go play football right now, so I don't have to do the test on Friday. Think so? You think so? So, you know, that's just the way it is.
Right. Now, Ms. Walker, what do you look for when choosing a head coach for the Rams?
Yeah, so we look for fit. We're looking for someone that fits our mission to graduate champions. It can't all be about football, but we're looking for a coach that is going to assist us with shaping and preparing young men and young women for life after Winston-Salem State University by way of their particular sport. So there has to be buy-in, and they have to be a good fit for us. And then, of course, we have to be a good fit for them. We're looking for the face of that program, so someone that is of good character, someone that is respected, someone who is, like I said, will be invested in the maturation and the support that is needed to make sure that that student-athlete is well-prepared after Winston-Salem State University.
Right, and I'm sure you're also looking for someone with passion as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, for their craft. And how do you deal with pressure or stressful situations? How do you handle that? Because you seem like you're very I know you're on the stick, but I can see you as an administrator, you know, as opposed to a coach. So how do you deal with the pressure?
The pressure comes with the job, in all honesty, and there are lots of different pressures. You know, I'll be quite honest, there are pressures of being a female in a male-dominated
yes.
position. And so being prepared, being ready when you're at the table to respond, knowing your craft, studying your craft. There are pressures that come along with not having a successful program or a losing season because everyone at that point becomes a coach and the expert. And so just knowing to control what you can control, to make sure that I first take care of myself and make sure that I maintain a sense of grounding and balance, to make sure that I'm taking care of my health, and that's ultimately the most important for me, because when you don't, then I'm of no service to my student athletes or no good to my staff. But controlling those things that you can control. You know, fair weather fans will be fair weather fans. Fans will be fans. And, you know, what we really try to hone in on is support for a student athlete or for a program. If you are genuinely supporting, it really does not, it should not be impacted by wins and losses. If at the end of the day you're trying to assist us with what we say, graduating that student athlete.
Yeah, I know when you go into meetings, I know sometimes people, particularly men, may look at you like, oh, okay, she might not know what she's talking about, but I'm sure you do, because you've been
well,
in the business
well,
a long time.
Now, yeah, Linda, as a male, let me step in here for one second. I'm going to tell you this right now. I know Ingrid Wickham McCree. I know Ingrid,
yes.
I don't know, you know, Miss Walker. We just, you know, meeting on the phone. But I can tell you this: when Ingrid comes in a room, when Debbie Yao comes in a room, there's not one guy in there that says they don't know what they're doing. I can promise you. Why?
Fantastic.
Because they're afraid of them. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because when they come in there, they're organized, they're ready, and they can, you know, they'll bounce any question right back at you. And they know what they're doing, and they have successful programs. Now, a lot of these guys who sit there and want to and question people, Ms. Walker, and question Ingrid, and they're the ones that's losing. They can't figure out why your program is winning. And it's called, what's that word we're looking for? Jealousy. And they'll look at every little thing they can to nitpick, and when they can't find it, all they can do is sit there and shut the heck up. That's all. So, yeah, I just had to step in there with that one because I know exactly how it is. I mean, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. You know, I think, Ms. Walker, I'm sure, I mean, do you feel like that, that sometimes, you know, you walk into rooms and do you have that feeling that maybe people are jealous?
I try not to look at it as jealousy, but I know that some of the tensions that we feel as women are because we are women from our male counterparts. Mm-hmm. And so I can't, you know, say specifically that it's jealousy, but I work every day in a male-dominated environment, and so I know what that feels like.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've also been married twice, so I know how to shut up. But anyway.
Wow. Back to you.
I've got to just shut up and go with the flow. Now, Winston-Salem State has really come along. I mean, they have really added a number of programs. I mean, they're really, you know, getting coaches in who and getting coaches in who really, and I'm not saying that other coaches didn't, but really have a vision of that long vision that you're talking about, because I know that's why you hired them. They got that long vision. You have an alumni that is just out of this world, and you have a chancellor that, you know, I would just love to sit down and talk to this man. He looks like he has so much energy that it's just unbelievable. How much does his backing of the athletic program mean to you?
Oh, that's invaluable. You know, not only the chancellor, but also the executive staff, realizing and embracing the fact that athletics is truly a part of the experience of the academic enterprise. And, you know, it really heightens the support that we receive and that we garner when athletics is a focal point and of priority for the administration. It eludes pride. It makes our alumni feel a part and connected. It's an outlet for our students to be able to attend the games and participate and to assist us with creating that game day environment. And so our chancellor definitely believes in that and is a proponent of athletics.
Yeah, I see the different pictures of him. I see the YouTube. I mean, he's got so much energy. He is just he's Mr. WSSU. I mean, he really advocates just like you do. They advocate for that university, and I tell you what, it makes a big difference, especially right there in your community. Like I say, the alumni base is all over the world, and you know things are just picking up and growing. So, if I was a kid who was looking for a school to go to and a parent who's, of course, supporting that child, what would you say to that young man or young lady to say Winston-Salem State University is the school for you?
Yes, I would say definitely Winston-Salem State is a university that cares about you and your success. Statistics have proven that we are ranked amongst our HBCU peers, but also ranked highly amongst our schools within the state of North Carolina. It's ensuring that, I mean, the statistics are proven that we rank number one in student graduates who receive a degree and salaries amongst those graduates. And so we offer a liberal arts program that is well-versed with a minimal amount of hours that it will take to acquire a degree. And Winston-Salem State is a place that cares about you. It's not just a place where you can come and just get your degree, but you will grow in the process. You will grow. You will learn lots about yourself. There will be a great experience for you that extends within athletics, into the arts, into all of the, you know, Greek life and things with student affairs. And so Winston-Salem State University is definitely a place that one should consider.
And I can tell you from experience, I can just say from the congregation, amen. That is absolutely correct. Well, Ms. Walker, thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show today. It's really been an honor to speak with you about Winston-Salem State Athletics, and I look forward to, you know, talking about Winston-Salem, you know, a whole lot more this season, because every year you're hanging right around the top of the CIAA and get yourself in the playoff picture. So we'll probably be discussing you a lot more as the season goes on, or seasons go on.
Yes, we look forward to it. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. You have a great evening.
Have a good season.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Tanya Walker, the athletic director at Winston-Salem State University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, talking about all the great things happening there at Winston-Salem. And I can say once again, there are some great things happening at Winston-Salem State University. I went there myself when I first started out, and I did. I grew there. I had a great time there. Brown Hall, 428 Brown Hall, if anybody knows where that is. And I'm glad they have air conditioning now, because that building could get up to about 200 degrees.
Wow.
It was a sauna. But
but then you transferred to the greatest.
Yeah, then I transferred to North Carolina Central, and I drank the water and became an Eagle. Yeah, I became an Eagle, and I'm an Eagle born, Eagle pride. When I die, be the Eagle is dead. So that's just the way that's going to go. But I tell you what, we're going to take a short break, and after we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, since we have a few minutes, about what's going on around the country right now with these protests from NFL athletes, and it's even spread down to high school, and we'll talk about that right after this on the Overtime Sports Show.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, Amber Alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Overtime Sports Show. Mike Wood and Linda Van Smith with you here. Just finished talking to Ms. Tanya Walker, the athletic director at Winston-Salem State University, about their program. But there's protests going on all around the country now, being done in different ways. Saturday, I had the honor of broadcasting a North Carolina Central football game, and I looked around the stadium when the national anthem was being played, and there were several people sitting down. I mean, I never really noticed it before. It could be the average. I don't know. But there were several people that were sitting down protesting. You have a high school. There's a county in Florida that's trying to say if a kid wants to kneel or do something, that he actually has to have written permission from his parents in order to do it. Now, what this school system fails to realize is constitutional rights are not signed off on by parents. It's been signed off on by the forefathers of the Constitution already. That's their permission slip. So to say that a high school athlete has to get a note from their parents will get you a lawsuit. There was a middle school team. It was an all-African-American team, and they took a knee during the national anthem, and they actually received death threats. And Colin Kaepernick is getting death threats by the day, but then you turn around and you see the tape of what happened to this young man in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which brings into focus everything that these athletes have been doing to protest what they feel is unfair treatment of African Americans in this country. And they're not sitting there being boisterous about it. They're not being disruptive about it. They haven't done any of that. All they're doing is silently protesting. But it's really interesting to me that it seems as though Caucasians always want to tell blacks how to even protest.
Yes.
They want to tell you how you're supposed to protest the way they're treating you.
Yes.
In other words, it's almost like history. They don't want you to think about your history, but they want you to think about and learn about their history. They don't want you to think about losing 6 million or more people crossing from Africa to America during the slave trade, okay? But they want you to remember the Holocaust, and build monuments to it.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to remember the American flag even and honor it, even though liberty, justice, and freedom for all does not ring true for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But when you protest that, you're wrong. Because you're supposed to accept what I do to you and not talk about it. Because I'm me and you're you and I'm better than you. Think so? What do you think about it, Linda?
Yeah, I do think Colin Kaepernick isn't bothering anybody. He has the right to do what he's doing, and I don't see what the problem is with that. But like you said, I think white people just think that, what he's doing is wrong, and everybody's saying, they don't want to follow the 49ers, and, because of this, and it's just crazy.
Here's the thing.
And you just wonder why.
If they don't follow the 49ers, it doesn't matter. They're still going to get paid. So if I want to sit there and I don't want to watch the 49ers on TV, it doesn't matter. The 49ers on TV, they're still going to get paid. So it doesn't matter if you watch it or not. It doesn't matter if you buy a Colin Kaepernick jersey, because he's going to get paid no matter what.
Yes.
So it's not bothering him from that aspect. Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether
he's a
that has anything to do with anything.
No.
The last game that they played, against the Panthers, but,
No, I didn't have anything to do. He just sucks pretty much. But you look at the black athletes, Shaq and all those guys who are talking, maybe he shouldn't do that. Well, I tell you what, if Ray Rice, who's one of those outspoken guys, will come up, Ray Lewis, he came up and said something about, I tell you what, Ray, you're saying Kaepernick is wrong or you don't believe in what Kaepernick is doing, it's fine. All you have to do, Ray, is tell us what you did with the knife and the bloody clothes you had on.
Okay.
So Ray shouldn't be saying anything about anybody else until he says something too. But wait a minute, though. That Constitution protects him, remember? Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination? Remember that?
But the
thing of it is, the rest of it, if you protest it, then, it's like, I don't think you should do this unless it works.
People don't want to go against the grain. That's what it is.
Kaepernick
is going on his own, doing his own thing, and you got other people like, Ray Lewis, they just don't want to go against it, so they're going to say, he shouldn't be doing that, because you're around. I guess he's a newscaster. He's doing that now.
Yeah, he's something. Yeah, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
He wasn't good at it, but he was doing it. But anyway, it's just one of those things where I'm just trying to figure out what's going on in the country. I mean, everybody has the right to have their own opinion. That's what America's all about. Everybody has a right to say what they want to say. That's what America's all about. Everybody has the right to do what they want to do. That's what America's all about. And, yes, there's consequences for everything, good and bad. But how can you now say that Kaepernick and these other guys are wrong when you see a tape of four cops shooting one guy who's been tased, falls on the ground, and gets shot while he's laying on the ground? He doesn't get shot coming at him. He doesn't get shot standing up. He doesn't get shot fighting. He gets shot. He's laying on the ground being shot by a taser. Then he gets shot.
Right.
So what? So now, are you saying that everything is cool? You had a terrorist,
mm-hmm.
who had a shootout with the cops in New Jersey.
And still living.
Shot, what, three
mm-hmm.
cops and still living.
Still
and you
living.
Got a man who had his hands up with a broke-down truck who's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can somebody work with me on that? I mean, you have Eric Garner. They said he was selling cigarettes. They choked him, put him in an illegal chokehold and killed him. Okay, let him lay there and die. And then he didn't have any cigarettes on him. Guess what they charged him with? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was not charged with one crime, but yet he's dead at the police hands.
Mm-hmm.
There was an athlete, a basketball player, NBA basketball player, pretty famous player. His name begins with an S. I'm trying to think of what it is. He's
yeah.
the kind of guy that doesn't say a whole lot about anything. He's one of the top players in the league. He
Steph
and his
Curry.
Photographer, because no, it ain't Seth. Seth, no.
Yeah.
It was another guy, a guy that really matters, and he. You know, he was profiled by police in Florida because he was walking with a guy who was his photographer because they were doing a story on him, and the cops actually stopped him and shook him down right in the middle of the airport. And this guy is a millionaire. So if you got that skin and you think money matters, you're crazy. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Money doesn't matter at all. Status doesn't matter
matters.
At all. Yeah, I mean, when Barack Obama gets out of the White House and he's driving down to the 7-Eleven to get a Slurpee, he better watch out.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll pull him out at gunpoint.
Right.
I mean, it's you know, I can't. I'm not getting it. I'm just not getting it.
And I'm looking at this video. They said that he refused to follow command. The guy in Tulsa.
But what?
That was their rationale.
I'm gonna tell you what the narrative is going to be. He refused to follow my orders. I felt in fear of my life.
There was
a
woman
reaching for a weapon. Yeah, as a woman. What I'm saying is. That's the narrative they're going to use. And if you look at North Carolina's general statute, it is so broad that all a police officer has to do is articulate the fact that he felt as though that person was going to do him or others bodily harm, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
It is written purposely for that to allow executions.
Mm-hmm.
But even when the police chief stands up there and doesn't back you, the police chief did. He, as a matter of fact, the police chief said, I want everybody to be calm. I don't want y'all to tear no crap up. I want y'all to be cold. You understand? Because, yeah, we know this is wrong. We're going to take care of this. Exactly what he said. But if I shot somebody like that in cold blood, I'd be in jail right now. And I had to get myself bonded out. If a cop does it, they get a 2-3 week vacation and they can do what they want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a cop is innocent until proven guilty. I'm guilty until I prove myself innocent.
Right.
That's all everybody is saying.
That's all everybody's saying.
Well, we've run over time, but anyway, we'll talk about this a little bit later. But I tell you what, thank you so much, Linda, for being on the show tonight. I want to thank Ms. Tanya Walker, Athletic Director at Winston-Salem State University, for appearing on the show. And we'll be on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we have another show. And I think I'm not looking right at my list here, but I think it's going to be David Six, who is the head coach at Hampton University, the women's coach at Hampton University, and he'll be here on the Overtime Sports Show. So until tomorrow night at this same time, goodbye, everybody.
See ya.